This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, it's time to take a deep dive into Google reviews. Now, why is it important to have a variety of star ratings instead of all five stars? Why do you need to respond to good and bad reviews? From the Aftermarket Radio Network, how you doing? It's Karim Capriotto from the Remarkable Results Radio Podcast. Hey, I'm with Jimmy Lee, Kukui Evangelist, and we're ready to find out why your business must exist digitally in order to capture customers. Hey, thanks to NAPA for their continued partnership. It's no secret we're facing a technician shortage. NAPA Auto Care is addressing that. The free two-year apprentice program offers a variety of training to produce a technician with three ASE certifications. To learn more, members can visit member.napaautocare.com. Hey, a warm welcome to my friend Jimmy Lee from Kukui. Hi, Jimmy.
Hello, Karm. Good morning.
Hey, glad to have you here, the Aftermarket Radio Network and the Remarkable Results Radio Podcast. If you've not listened to any of the ARN shows, please enjoy yourself. Hey, we're going to talk about Google reviews, Jimmy, right?
Yes, absolutely. Google reviews have changed. They changed the rules yet again. Imagine that.
And they're probably going to change them again tomorrow, unbeknownst to you.
That's right. Yeah, the godfather of the internet is constantly changing the rules, and the announcements don't come out in front. We have to reverse engineer it and figure it out.
It is amazing, which constantly proves to you why that this is not, you know, the internet reviews and SEO and all that stuff. It's not a DIY type business, is it?
It's difficult. I mean, yeah, you could do it in a DIY. You can do it for yourself. But good night, a shop that is doing it for themselves is spending a lot of time where they could have other people helping them out. But, you know, and reviews is something interesting. It is an area that a shop does need to pay attention to on their own. To respond in a template that says, thank you for coming into Jimmy's Super Shop, and that's every response to every review. What a generic thank you.
Well, thank you for coming and bringing what you know as the latest. Hey, I just want to tease the audience because there's a lot to talk about. Jimmy's brought a great agenda here, and I don't want you to just say, I don't care about this stuff, because here's what we're going to talk about. The credibility for really good reviews, why you shouldn't why you must respond to every review you get, know the keywords for SEO value, and three phases to review a Google review. That is kind of interesting. Three phases to review a Google review. Before we go, I don't know about you. You know, sometimes at the end of the day, I'm wondering, I didn't get anything done because the clock or some noise or something got in my way. I call it time suck. You got any hacks for that?
I'll tell you, my biggest time sucks is getting sucked into that time machine known as social media, Facebook, TikTok. An hour and a half later, I get kicked out. I don't even remember what I went in there for. It's terrible. It's disgusting. It's by design. That's the way they do it, right? That's what they want your experience to be. They want you to come into this time machine and consume their data, their information, and then to get spit out on the other end. So my advice is have the purpose. What's your purpose? If you have a social media time period that you are going to go in and post information, block off that time period, just like you would a meeting with Karm, just like you would a meeting with Jimmy Lee, just like you would a meeting with your NAPA sales rep or your parts sales reps. Mark off that time that says, all right, for the next 30 minutes, I'm going to post two or three posts on Instagram and Facebook and TikTok, and then get out.
Go in with a purpose. And you know what happens? Oh, I didn't know. Oh, look. Oh, my God. Click and forward. And now you're deep. You're in a hole.
Have a time where you are there to peruse. You can watch those cat videos. You can watch those dance videos. You can watch those near fails of people falling off ladders and falling into water or whatever the scenario is. Or there's near miss automobile accidents where everybody still is alive and they come out okay. Have time, you know, late evening when you're sitting down watching your little sitcom and you're looking for a brain turn off. There's your time to get lost. There's your time to go into that time machine.
Thank you for bringing all this up, because I just wonder how we all get through the craziness that we call, you know, life at the speed of light or wherever we are. I mean, it's faster I don't know about you, but you know, the older I get, the days go by like seconds. I mean, they used to go by like, you know, hours. Now they go by like seconds.
Yeah, it really does. I, you know, and I think, Carm, I think once we all hit 16, at least for me, once I hit 16, it was like the gas pedal is down and life took off. And at 21, there was a turbocharger put on that gas machine. 21, adulthood, responsibilities, family, children, life is going extremely fast.
I've always felt that in my lifetime, Jimmy, that every decade, you know, you mentioned 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s, and of course I'm in that 60 range. I've always had, if you will, a stereotyped decade. You know, this was my decade of this and my decade of that. And it just seems that there's this speed of life that is compounded in these later years. We've had to shoulder technology, adapt it, accept it into our lives and in the way we communicate with family, with friends, with people, the way we sell our brands. I mean, and this is what you're here for, you know, the product evangelist from Kukui. I mean, you probably have so much to say about that brand building thing. Thank you for going down that slide of life here with me on that thought. And I know, what's this have to do with Google reviews? Maybe nothing, but you know, the reason people listen to the show is that we have fun talking about stuff.
Right. And we're looking for that one thing that will make the difference. What is that one thing today that we can implement or that we can do in our shop or in our life that makes the difference? What's that one thing?
All right. So let's talk about Google reviews and the credibility of getting great reviews.
Yeah, it's important. It's important to get reviews. So what Google has come out with most recently is the currency that you as a shop have with Google is more relevant, more prevalent, more credibility goes into the shops that have 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 stars. You have to have the rainbow of star flavors, not just all 5-star reviews. And that's generally what we see is that the shops will either have all 5 stars or 1 star. It's not given so much with the 2, 3, 4 stars. So a shop needs to have all of them. What does that mean? That means that the shop that has a perfect 5.0 star rating with Google doesn't have as much credibility or credence with Google as those that have the rainbow of star flavors. We're in the automotive industry. We are not perfect. We own it. We move on from it.
Does Google think you're cheating?
Yeah, they think that you're baking it. They think that you're incentivizing it. And not only, this is not just to automotive. This is across the board with hair salons, attorneys, lawyers, chiropractors. Nobody's perfect. We're human. And that's what Google is coming out to say is, what is the human side of this effect? What is the human side of this business? And it's reflected in having the rainbow of star flavors in your Google reviews.
So if I was a 4.8, I may rank higher with Google than a 5.0?
Yeah, that's the perfect position to be in. But the analysis that we've done most recently shows that anywhere between a 4.5 and a 4.9 is where a shop wants to be. And the perfect position, oddly of all odds, is a 4.76. So you need it. You do need the variety of reviews.
The thing I like about the fact that you maybe get a 4 or a 3 allows you to show to the rest of the world that you can manage it, knowing that we're not living in a perfect world. We have our bad days. And, you know, even if it was the part wasn't there on time, they didn't get the car in the promised time, there's a way to discuss that with people. I think what you're saying is if I was a shop owner, I can't wait to get a less than 5 review so that I can interact with the customer and let the industry see me do it.
Yes. In fact, I've got a beautiful story that goes right along with that. Nanette Griffin Muffler and Brake in Madison, Illinois, super awesome shop. She was 49 reviews and a 5.0 on Google reviews. They made a mistake and they got a 1-star review and they earned it. That was their badge of honor. And Nanette went on and said, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry that this happened. Please, you know, well, thank you. First of all, thank you that you've allowed us a teaching opportunity where we have been able to go in and change our process and our procedures to make sure that this doesn't happen again. Second, please bring your car back. Let us make it right. Customer brought the car back and they made everything right. And as she is leaving, she says to Nanette, you know, Nanette, I left you a one-star review before. I got to tell you, you guys are awesome. You guys are amazing. I'm going to go back and then change it to a five-star review. And Nanette says, wait, stop. Don't change it. I'm finally a 4.9 star shop. This is exactly where I want to be. What you've done is given us an opportunity to show the human side of who we are. Don't change it from a one star, but do go in and reply to my response. And this is where customers can go in. Reply to my response and let everybody know what we did to make it right. Tell your story. Tell and you can go on there and you can read the reviews. It's beautiful what happened and it's beautiful what they did. And it goes exactly into where people think you're faking it. Because most people, they give a five-star review because the experience was awesome and amazing and above and beyond their expectations. They'll give a one-star review because you were failing and you fell way below their expectations. We need the middle strings as well.
This isn't gating, is it? I don't know anything about gating. I can't wait for you to explain that to me.
And there's two types of gating. There's the gating that happens at the front counter where a service advisor says, I already know Mrs. Jones had a terrible experience. I'm not going to ask her to leave us a review. That is gating. So you're steering that review, whether five or one, you're steering and you're deciding that you're not going to send it.
Are you a repair shop owner? Do you find yourself struggling with any of the following? Uncertainty about the future and competition. Are you spending too much time managing chaos and struggling with new employees? Do you lack time to invest in learning best practices, or there's no time to spend on effective marketing? How do your finances look? Are you reactive rather than proactive? Do you know where you should be, when to grow, and when to shrink? If any of those situations describe where you are today, well, you are finally in the right place. Repair Shop of Tomorrow is Napa Auto Care's newest endorsed partner. They are helping shops all over the nation run more profitable automotive repair shops, and they help by utilizing proven business best practices, marketing, and coaching to leverage Napa programs to drive quality, car count, sales, and profits. RSOT will look at productivity, efficiencies, effective labor rate, average hours per car, labor profit percent, measure and manage labor, and how you can create net profit. Team up with the coaches to create systems, operations, and procedures using a business flowchart to help you reach your goals. RSOT will help measure and manage the results to help each business succeed. Now, best of all, it's not do-it-yourself. It's all done for you. Their goal is to help service professionals do what they do best, fix cars, and build relationships at the counter and in the community. RSOT will take the other minutiae off your plate. The Repair Shop of Tomorrow offers a tier-based program to not only generate more business today, but to transform your shop into a top-level shop of tomorrow. RSOT can teach you how to make your shop profitable, and they can teach you how to recruit and how to make more labor dollars for your shop. Interested in Repair Shop of Tomorrow? Well, call 440-545-1230. That's 440-545-1230 for a free 20-minute no-obligation consultation or contact your servicing Napa Auto Parts store. Google is saying, since we're human and we make mistakes, that I'm going to put to the top of the stack a more human Google review. If I type in automotive repair near me, Jimmy, the person that has a less than five may, if with the right AdWords and all the SEO stuff, may rank higher?
Yeah. Now, there is software in the industry that will also gate. And this is where you really want to be careful. So here's the scenario. Here's what happens. Carm, you came into my shop. I send you a text or I send you an email that says, hey, would you leave us a good review? The answer is yes. You click on yes. And it sends you to Google with the 4 or 5 star review. If you were to leave a 3 or less star review, it goes to a form and you fill out this form. It comes to me as a shop owner and I get with you, Carm, to say, hey, Carm, what can I do to make this right? That is gating. You're giving the 4 and 5 stars immediate pass to Google. You're giving the 1 to 3 star reviews the opportunity for, hey, let me make it right. And I've seen shops go from 440 Google reviews. Somebody reported them. They went from 440 down to 88. From gating, from incentivizing. And this is another thing you don't want to do. Don't hold raffles, don't hold contests, don't incentivize people to leave you a review. If Google hears about this, that's when they shut it down. That's when they pull out, they say, oh, you're incentivizing your reviews. Okay, we can look at the reviews and we can see, oh, right about here, 6 months ago, it took a real hockey stick that only 5-star reviews were starting to be left. Oh, chances are you were holding a raffle. Anybody that left us a 5-star review in the month is going to be entered to win an Xbox or a PlayStation or whatever. That's incentivizing for reviews. And Google says, no, you can't do that. And if you do that on our review site, we're going to take those reviews away. And there's nothing you can do to get them back.
How bad does it hurt a business if their reviews go from 400 to 80? For a brand new customer, would it matter to them? They wouldn't know.
No, they would know. They absolutely would know. Depending on which report you read, 69 to 74% of all internet searches are done through Google. All right, so I'm going to use 70%. 70% of all searches are done through Google. If Google is that, which it is, that's the godfather of the internet. If the godfather says, all right, you're not in the family anymore, that's going to hurt your business. That's going to hurt your digital footprint. As a prospect, you probably wouldn't know that. But as a business and as your Google business profile being promoted, you would not have as much credibility.
Okay, so you're getting a black mark in your record, if you will.
There you go.
I see. And you may not rank.
Yeah, you're not going to rank with the godfather anymore.
So you came to my daughter's wedding, huh? I've always wanted to say that. So a shop really needs to be honest, no gating, allow the human side of just doing business, and respond to all reviews, both positive and negative. Is this a problem that you find in the industry?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because shops, they love reviews and they hate reviews. They love getting the positive reviews because those are the easy ones. Yeah, it's easy to respond. It's great. It's wonderful. But they hate them because now, oh, they have to respond. They have to respond both to positive and negative. And this is important. This is where we need to get in, is showing the human side of who we are and what we do, our relationships that we're building. If we have a 1-star review, it's going to happen. And it's okay. Acknowledge it. Apologize for their feelings. It's not that you made a mistake. You apologize for their feelings that they're feeling that way. State the facts. Apologize again and give them an opportunity to call you. Take that conversation offline. Take that into the front door. Take it to a situation where you can bring the car back and work with the customer to work things out.
What if you got a crazy person who loves just to do negative reviews because they got up on the wrong side of the bed every day?
There's somebody that's just always a hater. And there's two types. There's the mayor of Crazy Town, and then there's a person that actually came into the shop and is going to give you a bad review. So to the mayor of Crazy Town, all of us can smell it. So people know that. And there are some things you can do as a shop owner to get those removed. And we'll talk about that in phases 1, 2, and 3. But to Karen, who left you a bad review, and she always leaves bad reviews, go with the same scenario. Apologize for the way that they're feeling. State the facts. Apologize again and give them an opportunity to make it right. Here's the phone number to the shop. Call in. Let us make this right. Thank you for helping us change our policies and procedures like Nanette did with that customer that it was smudges on the hood. But as little as that, still make it right.
You don't say, we've never found a record of your name in our books. You never tell the person that they're lying, do you?
It depends. Now, and this goes into the three phases of removing a Google review. It is a difficult process. You've got a 50-50 chance in each of these different phases. So let's go through the phases. And this both works with Karen. It works with the mayor of Crazy Town. It works with a disgruntled employee that no longer works there that decides, oh, I'm going to leave them terrible reviews and I'm going to get all my friends to leave them terrible reviews. Phase one is for you as a shop owner to get two or three of your friends to flag the review as inappropriate. And you do that with the three dots up there in the top right-hand corner. Click the three dots, mark it as inappropriate. 2 to 3 people. That gets Google's attention. I have seen, and this is personal experience, that the more people you get to market as inappropriate, the higher the chances are that Google is going to look at it. What Google is looking for is the content of what was said. So right now, all you've done is to raise a flag and say, hey, Google, check this out. Google's going to look at it. They're going to look at the information, the content. So if you have a one-star review and there is no words, no content, much more difficult to get rid of a no-word, one-star review. So they look at the content. You got a 50-50 chance that they're going to take it down. There's a three-day window that is very important that you have to pay attention to. You have to set an alarm that says, okay, on the third day, now I'm going to go into support.google.com. And that's the Google Business Profile Forum. And you report it as an inappropriate review. Give little information so that you can get a case and a case number and a human on the other end. That's then when you tell all of the information. This is the mayor of Crazy Town. They've never been to this shop before. I don't have this name. I don't have the vehicle that they're talking about. Everyone with the last name of Smith, there are no 04 infinities. Okay, because it could be a son-in-law. It could be a son that's reporting for mom.
And it's like, are you going up to judge and jury with Google? Is there a human who's really going to read this and interact with it?
Yes, if you go into the business forum. So what I'm telling you is give just enough information to get a human and then divulge all the information. So there's two parts of that phase two. You give just enough to say this is inappropriate. They've never been in. And then once you get phase two, part two is you've got a case number, you've got a human on the other end. And then you all of the documentation that you have made, you now give it to that person. And the best way of documenting it is screenshots of your point of sale system, screenshots of your reviews, screenshots of even the profiler. And right here, you have a 50-50 chance of the review being removed or not. It's really a chance you're taking. Now, if you go into the forum before the three-day time period, you're going to get an email from them that says, you need to wait 3 days. And at the end of 3 days, then you can come into the forum and plead your case. So don't go beforehand and don't miss your third day. If you go in on the fourth day, now you got to start the clock all over again. Okay, now to phase three. So let's say you reported inappropriate. You had 2 to 3 of your friends or 10 to 12 of your friends reported as inappropriate, didn't get taken down. You went into the forum after 3 days, you pled your case, you went to a human, you pled your case, it went in front of the Google, the Godfather said, no, it's going to stay. All right, phase three, report the profile of the person who left the review. You can click on their name and see who they are. You can see where they have left reviews previously. When you report their profile, Google goes in and looks at them and says, oh, look, this is a true Karen. She has nothing good to say. Everything she says is negative, 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 negative. We're going to close down that profile.
A profile of an individual on Google. Does Google have a profile on everybody who has ever searched? What if I don't have an account with Google? What if I don't have a Gmail account?
If you don't have a Gmail account, for you to leave a Google review, you have to prove that you're human.
That's the part I didn't know.
And now you're reporting the profile as inappropriate. Now Google goes in and looks at that profile. And again, here's your 50-50 chance of getting the profile shut down. So if the profile gets shut down, all of their reviews, no matter where they left them, all of their reviews are removed.
There is a review profile of anyone who's ever done a Google review. And if that person is a one-starer, they may say, well, then your beef with this review probably has legitimacy and they can see it. And it wouldn't be hard for them to pull it, knowing that that this person is a, as you say, crazy. Would you say mayor of Crazy Town?
Mayor of Crazy Town. Yeah, because you could have that one-star fabulous person that all they do is a one-star and they've got nothing positive to say. There are profiles that are made by people who own businesses or companies, and they make up this profile, and now they go in and they target, let's say, automotive, and they on this profile, every review that they leave is a negative review, shop after shop after shop after shop. It's clearly the mayor of Crazy Town. They're going to shut it down.
This was interesting. I mean, I learned a few things on my own, and because I've never given a review. Maybe I should. Maybe I should start doing reviews.
You should, Carm, and you should leave the reviews for the places you really enjoy. You've probably got your favorite diner or your favorite dinner location. Leave them a review, and it goes a long way. In fact, the biggest tip you can leave a waiter, a waitress, a restaurant, is to name a hotel, is to name that person who helps you the most, who is your person. When I go get my table, Steve is the guy who helps me, or Jennifer is always there. She knows my drink order. She takes care of me. Call them out on that Google review. It goes a long way towards their credibility within their company, and they get raises because they're being called out in public on a Google review because you had a great experience.
When you look at what we do in our business, again, Jimmy, you have been out on the road. I'd love to ask you something about being on the road, but you're out there, you're seeing so many top shops, you're seeing incredible operators. And then there's another segment of our industry that just doesn't do a really good job. And those reviews help hinder the reputation that we have and the trust that we need to have with consumers. Point is, I guess I'm bringing that up, is that to manage reviews, to keep the legitimacy and the trust and the value of our business as high as we possibly can have it. You can't ignore what's going on with reviews, and especially the strategy of you don't want a 5, you want something 4.76, I think you said to me, and you want to be able to high-five the people that give you a 5, and anything less than that still has to be replied, but you have to bring your heart to the table when you're replying.
That's exactly right. And to that point, I get to travel the country. I get to see all the top shops. I get to see the not top shops, and I get to see the shops that are closed. So what's the difference between all of these shops? There are shops on Main Street, location, location, location. They're on Main Street. This is a busy street. How come they are boarded up? How come there are other shops that are phenomenal shops, but they're just kind of mediocre in their car count? What about these top shops? How is it that these top shops are doing such an amazing job and growing so exponentially? I voice my opinion. I voice my analysis to say they exist digitally. They exist digitally. Because they exist digitally, they're a destination. And I'm thinking of Vinny Lucido with Co Auto in Reno, Nevada. He is between railroad tracks and a river. He is halfway down at the end of a cul-de-sac. I'm thinking of BG Automotive, Brian Gossel. He is 3 streets removed from the main road, and you have to cross a railroad to get back there to his shop. You pass 4 shops getting to his shop at the end of the cul-de-sac. His shop is bursting at the seams. The parking lot is full. All these other shops are fairly ghost town. You've got to exist digitally. If you don't exist digitally, you are not going to get the presence. You're not going to get the consumers. You're not going to get the customers coming into you because of the smartphone, because people are searching. They wake up that morning. Oh, today's the day. I need an oil change today. And they're going to do their search. Oil service near me. Search. Oh, Jimmy Super Shop. Oh, yeah, I remember him. Click. Set up an appointment. They're going to fill out the online appointment request. You were able to keep that customer because you existed digitally, because you were advertising with Google Ads. You were able to retain that customer. So hopefully going forward, after you have that second visit, third visit, fourth visit, that becomes a lifelong customer. You've got to exist digitally.
All the things we talked about today will be on our show notes, on the show notes page for this episode, but I want to make sure that the 3 phases of removing a Google review are there too. And I think that's important. And I'm going to guess that people that work with companies like yours and all, you know, the great marketing companies that are out there are coached or helped with this. Yet, there's probably a bunch that don't know how to handle that. And they don't have a good day when bad review comes in and they don't know what to do next. Let's just wrap the episode up. You're out there, you're seeing a lot of people, your ear is always to the ground. What's some trends that you're seeing?
Electric vehicles. hot topic, electric vehicles, getting the training for technicians. They need that training. Recruiting technicians constantly recruiting, seeing shops dig more into not only community colleges, which was where we've been for a long time, but even into high schools and elementary schools, getting into these schools and talking about our industry, talking about what we do. Now, if you're a shop owner that is wrenching, chances are you can't break away to do that sort of a presentation to a high school. You need to get to a point where you have more people so that you can work on the business and not in the business. And this is where we see a lot of technicians making that transition. Are they going from being a tech to being a shop owner, or do they want to be the tech? And that's fine. A shop owner needs to discover and find out what they want to do. If they want to be a tech, if they want to be a service advisor, or do they want to be the owner? If they want to be the tech, they need to hire an advisor and they need to hire a business manager.
You know, we cover stuff like that all the time. And there are great stories to be told by so many of our top shop successful owners out there. And the thing that I love about where this industry is headed is how many shop owners and technicians and service advisors are willing to come in and tell the story that, aha, I had my aha V8 moment when I realized that, you know, I had to make these kind of moves to make my business the business that I always dreamed that it would be. And they go to bed every night with the dream of what it could be, but they just don't know what they don't know. They don't know how to get out of their own way. They don't know what's around the next corner, and on and on and on. Hey, I want to make a comment about, technician shortage and high school. It was the Aftermarket Weekly show that we do every week where we actually tour a shop that we actually toured a high school. It was episode 100. And so I'm like right in your camp, getting out and being involved in education and letting people know. I say this not in jest, but I say if you love high tech and you applied to Google and you didn't make the cut, then become a diagnostician of our future cars, because you're going to play with all kinds of tech you would have never imagined you needed. Now, we do need our great skilled mechanics that are so good with their hands and they can do a brake job, you know, with their eyes closed in 50 minutes or less. You just mentioned it. Electric vehicles, the 150 million lines of code, you know, in the new Ford F-150s and all these cool, neat new electronic vehicle platforms. We may not be replacing parts, but man, I'll tell you, we're going to have the lab scope and the digital volt ohm meter out there with all of our wiring charts. And we're going to be in white lab coats, Jimmy.
Yeah. Oh, I see it. White lab scrubs, white lab coats. I know. A white sterile environment. They're going to pull in their Tesla. And think about it. I mean, the electric vehicle consumer, they're a different breed. They're expecting something more. They are on the cutting edge of technology. We've got to have a better experience for them.
I was just reading an article as a side note, and let's wrap this up, that Mercedes just came out and announced their newest. They've been waiting and waiting and waiting, and somehow it's like 600 mile range or whatever.
Oh, I love it.
We're pushing technology. We were talking about autonomy level 0 through 5, 5 years ago. And yeah, we have some of it coming out on our mainstream vehicles, but we keep talking about EVs and distance. And we think it's going to happen tomorrow, and it's not. Just like autonomy is not still not going to happen right away. The tech is creeping into our vehicles, but we're a long distance from letting a vehicle. We sleep in the back seat while the vehicle takes us somewhere, and we're a long way for EVs to be mainstream. Yet it just seems to me that many governments around our country are forcing an EV mandate, and I just wonder if the world's going to be able to keep up to that. I know it's pushing the envelope, but again, I ask you the question because you're out there, you're seeing shops, you're talking to them every day, and you know, what are their concerns, what are their worries? And I think you nailed a few of them.
Yeah, a law that they just passed in North Carolina is you don't have to have a driver's license if you are in an autonomous vehicle. And to your Mercedes at 600 miles, they got pickup trucks. The Ford F-150 does 320, 330. And now the Chevy Silverado is going to do 400 electric vehicle.
I find the technology fascinating. And I'm being romanced to want to buy an electric car someday.
I'm very close.
Wow.
I'd say within the next 2 years.
Hey, Jimmy Lee, Kukui Evangelist, thank you for squaring us up on Google Reviews. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you, brother. Mahalo. Mahalo, brother.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.